All right, we have Brother Pichardo with us tonight. Why don't you come up? Pastors in Daly City, Harvest Baptist Church. He started our Filipino ministry, when we were at the old building, before we even moved into here. He's been at Daly City, I know how many years. You started it the year my daughter was born, and so I still don't know. 15 years? Coming up on 16 this February, right? 15 this February. Okay, I was close. And I love going up there. Every time we're up there, I just enjoy it. They have such a great church, and we appreciate him much. And he was going to be with us tonight, so we're going to have him preach. Let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach tonight. And we love to be back. We love to see the people here, friends. And thank God for Pacific Baptist Church. This is our home church. And, you know, as a pastor, especially Sunday night, you know, our people wants to hear when the pastor said, you know, it will be a short message tonight. Amen? So I know, you know, Sunday night, a lot of things going on. But let me say this, you know, we're in Pacific Baptist Church. Thank God for the music. But the main thing is the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that the message will be a help tonight. Let's all stand, please, if you're able. First Kings chapter 18. I pray that this will be a help. First Kings 18 and verses 17 down to verse 20. If we could read this responsibly, I will start with verse 17 and we'll end with verse 20. First Kings 18, it's a familiar text. 1 Kings 18 and verse 17 down to verse 20. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered," verse 18, join with me, verse 18. "And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." Verse 20 together. "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel." Let us pray. Loving Father, tonight, praise you and thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Lord, you are a good God, a faithful God. Thank you, Lord, for the people that are here, faithful. But I pray tonight, Lord, speak to us. We need to hear from you. Use me to be a channel of blessing. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. You know, this chapter, you will study here the spiritual level of the people is at all time low. They've turned their backs on the Lord and they start to serve Balaam. And it's amazing to me, after pandemic, and you could testify, some, you know, pastors, you know, it's starting, the attendance started to pick up, but I could say that the spiritual level of the people is low. And so God called Elijah to confront the people. By the way, the name Elijah means "the Lord is my God." God used this man Elijah in a mighty way to bring revival. Notice in verse 19 and verse 20, the setting here is in Mount Carmel. 400 prophets of Baal, and then Elijah and his God. You know, I had the privilege of visiting Israel last month. What an amazing, you know, trip of a lifetime. One of the places that we went to is Mount Carmel. We were able to hike. It was rugged, a lot of limestone, but it's beautiful, it's lush, and was able to, you know, be there on Mount Carmel where this happened. Our tour guide said the Hebrew word for Carm is garden, and El, we all know, El is always the name of God, El Elyon, El Shaddai. So the word Carmel is, they call it the garden of God. I want to title the message this morning, this evening, The Crisis on Mount Carmel. I want you to see four simple thoughts here in our text. I want you to see, first of all, in verse 21, I want you to see the predicament here. It was a difficult situation because the wicked rulers are in charge, King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, and they introduced to the people this godly lifestyle. They introduced this Baal worship. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, when the godly men are in charge, you know, people rejoice. But the authority is wicked, the people mourn. And so here, it's exactly what is going on here. The wicked people are in charge. And so in verse 21, I want you to see here what Elijah did in verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long? How cheap between two opinions? Elijah confronted the people because of their divided allegiance. You see, they want to serve God. They want to be called God's people. But at the same time, they want to serve idols. And so Elijah here was confronting the people because of their divided allegiance. You know, the same today, the same thing today with God's people. You know, we want to serve God. There's that desire to serve God, but also we want some gold. We want Jesus, but you know what? We want Jesus here, but you know, we want also our job. There's nothing wrong with job. There's nothing wrong with having a career. But friends, if that will be first in our lives, something is wrong. You see, we want to be in the ministry, but also we want to make more money. To the point of making more money becomes first. We want to serve, but also we want self. We want the word of God, but also we want the world. You see, Elijah here was confronting the people because of their divided allegiance. You see, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Notice here in verse 21, notice the question here. How long? How long are you going to waver? How long? The Bible says here, how long halt ye between two opinions or two ideas? Friends, we cannot serve God and money. We cannot serve God and the world. We cannot serve God and our careers. Amen. There should be a point in our Christian life where we should make Matthew 6:33 as our life verse. We need to seek God. Come on, help me here. We'll seek God. Come on. First, not second. Notice the question here, how long? Let me ask you tonight, how long has it been since you've been in the altar? How long has it been since you attend Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Thursday service? How long has it been since you've been in our faithfulness rally? How long? How long has it been since you've been faithful in tithes and offerings and missions giving? How long has it been since you've been joined the choir? How long? How long has it been since you're involved in the ministry? How long has it been since you have your personal devotion? How long has it been since you have personal revival. How long has it been since you felt the presence of God? I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but notice a question here. Elijah here was talking to God's people. How long? Bible says they were jumping from, you know, different God and then idols. God and idols. Israel here was likened to this unfaithful spouse. They want to keep their marriage, but also they want to continue their affairs. Think about that. I don't know about you tonight, but you know, I've been praying for a message. God gave this. How long has it been? I want you to see the predicament here. But secondly, I want you to see secondly here, the proposal. In verse 23, the Bible says here, Elijah made a proposal. Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood, put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. In verse 24, and call ye on the name of your, notice here, small letter G gods, and I will call on the name of the capital L-O-R-D, Lord. And the God, without answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. I want you to see, secondly, the proposal. Elijah made the proposal here. Bullock is a grown ox. And it was commonly used as for sacrifice. And in verse 24, the God that answered by fire, let him be God. I want you to see again 450 prophets of Baal against Elijah and his God. Sometimes that's how, you know, that's how we feel. You know, in this world, we're outnumbered. But I thank God, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If we will stand with God, we are never alone. I want you to see, as I was studying here, the prophets of Baal, they are confident because Baal, this Baal god of them, is, you know, god of fertility. Sometimes they said Baal will appear in rain or sun or thunder. In fact, the word bonfire comes from the word Baal fire. So, you know, they're confident that their Baal god will send the fire. Now, Elijah is also confident because he heard of Moses. You know, when Moses saw this bush that was burning, it was the voice of God. Remember the story in the Bible. You know, when the people are in the wilderness for 40 long years, God will always send that pillar of fire by night. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. So Baal, prophets of Baal, they're confident. And of course, Elijah's confident that my God will send the fire. Now the fire in the Bible, if you study, there's many, many symbols. Fire speaks of the presence of God. Fire speaks of power. Fire speaks of his anger as well. Punishment, you know, hell. Fire is also, you know, speaks of the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah 23, the word of God is likened into a fire. But the point I'm making is this tonight. You know, more than ever, you know, what we need Christians that will be on fire. Amen. Amen. On fire. Active, passionate about the Lord, faithful, zealous, dedicated, sold out. Amen. Remember the three Hebrew boys? You know, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And the Bible says there was the fourth man walking on that fire. You know, I love that song, "Set My Soul on Fire, Lord." Would it be nice tonight someone here will pray that prayer, will go to this old-fashioned altar. Lord, set my soul on fire. And I remember many years ago, we have one of, you know, our young people, as they knock on doors and share the gospel, they were able to win this young man to the Lord. It was amazing because out of many that God saved, this certain young man, he got saved. He's from goes to public school. He got saved. He got on fire. I mean, every service is there. Soul winning is there. Sunday school is there early. I mean, the following week, he bought shirt and tie and suit. I mean, and then had a haircut, on fire. In every service, I could see this guy, you know, he wants to go soul winning. I mean, on fire. A good thing about this young man, he will go to public school with shirt and tie. Now, you know, if you've been to public school, so think about the ridicule. Think about they started mocking him and calling him father, you know, calling him priest, you know, but he will always say, "I got saved. I got saved." And then here comes Delilah. Hello. Fell in love with this lady. And I don't know what happened, you know, probably this Delilah put a hook on his nose, you know. And could you imagine, you know, that fire is gone. Started missing church, and by the time you know it, it's gone. But you know what we need more is that fire. I want you to see, first of all here, there's the predicament here, and there's a proposal. I want you to see thirdly here, verses 26 down to verse 29. I'm going to call this performance because that's exactly what these 450 prophets of Baal did. For Bible says half a day they were, verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." And there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. I want you to see, they prayed, they started chanting, they started leaping or started dancing, started jumping. You see, started screaming. It was just like a performance. But the Bible says in verse 26, there was no answer. No answer. Why? Because it is a dead God. A dead God. By the way, God hates idols. Notice in Deuteronomy, turn your Bibles, please. The book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 7. Notice verse 25 and 26. The Bible says here, the graven images of their small letter G God shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. God hates idols. And Israel here used to serve one God, the Jehovah God, the one and true God. In fact, you know, Israel is, you know, we call it monotheistic, one God. But because of the influence of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, they became polytheistic, serving many gods. Now, idols, you know, they're not just, you know, graven image in your house or something. We need to understand when the Bible talks about idols here, it means anything that you put ahead of God. Whatever it is in your life that you're putting ahead of your God becomes an idol. Might be your career. It might be family. Notice in Ezekiel, turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. In Ezekiel chapter 14, start with verse 3 here. Son of man, Ezekiel 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols. Notice here, not in their living room, not in their house. Notice here, set up their idols. Come on, help me here. In their heart. You know, sometimes, you know, you will not see it. Idols in their heart. In verse 4, it was mentioned again. In verse 4, set it up his idols in his heart. In verse 7, it was mentioned again. Set it up his idols in his heart. Three times. Idols in their hearts. Anything that you put ahead of God becomes an idol. I remember 3 years ago, I believe, Brother Tu, when we were in Cambodia. In my, after you go outside the hotel, there's on the street, there's people there selling this miniature temple, small temples. And I inquired, what will you do with that? They would say, you put the incense there so you could pray to your God. They have many gods. I thank God because in America, we always say, one nation under one God. But nowadays, we could say one nation under many gods. One pastor said, you know, he said, all the idols can be started with letter F, you know. Finances. Football. Hello? Sports. Firm. Your, you know, job. Family becomes a god. Face. Hello. You know, some ladies, you know, that would spend more on, you know, fitness, you know, guys. You know, the Saturday, they would rather go to the gym. Hello. How about food? Come on. Am I in a Baptist church? Amen. Especially we have Filipino ministry, man. Food. Some, you know, they said Facebook or social media becomes anything that you put ahead of God. I want you to see lastly, verse 30. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. See the predicament. We see the proposal here of Elijah. You see the performance of this prophets of Baal. But lastly, I want you to see the power. In verse 30, it was Elijah's turn. In verse 30, Elijah said unto all the people. I want you to understand here, this people that we was calling, this was God's people. As you study here, you will see the number 12 many, many times. Notice in verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. And Elijah, verse 31, took how many stones? 12. It was specific, 12 stones. Why? Because 12 represents the 12 tribes of Israel. So I want you to see the heart of Elijah. The heart of Elijah here is to reach God's people. You see, God's people have been away from God. And God called Elijah to bring the people back. He said here, the Bible says, he repaired the altar of the Lord. Maybe that is you tonight. Maybe we need to repair the altar of prayer. Maybe we need to repair the altar of our service, the altar of our worship, maybe family altar. You see, when altars are mentioned in the Bible, it means you want to be serious with God. And so I want you to see here in verse 33, and he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood and said, fill, notice here, 4 barrels of water and pour it on burnt sacrifice on the wood. And these 4 barrels of water, the Bible says, was poured out 3 times. Again, come on, help me here. 4 times 2 times 3 equals 12. I want you to see here, Elijah was specifically here trying to reach. He wants the people to get back. He wants to, you know, to revive the people of God. You see, poured out water to remove doubts. If God will send fire, it should be God's doing. Poured, the Bible says here in verse 36, Elijah prayed a simple prayer. In fact, it's 63-word prayer. He prayed that God will be glorified. He prayed that God will be vindicated. Or the prophet Elijah, the prophet of God, will be vindicated. But he also prayed that the people will be revived. Elijah could have prayed for rain, but he knows what the people need to see is God's power. Elijah knows that what the people need at this time is that they will get revived, that their hearts will turn back to God, that their hearts will serve the one and true God again. In verse 38, says in verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. I want you to see here, the Bible says the fire fell from heaven. I thank God tonight because our God is still the omnipotent God. Amen. Our God is still a miracle-working God. Our God is able. Our God is still a prayer-answering God. Nothing is too hard for God. In verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. I want you to see the people returned to God again. Would it be nice if there is someone here tonight, you've been away from God. The Lord, he is God. In verse 40, Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. You know, these prophets of Baal, they are a bad influence to the people, leading the people to idolatry. They must be destroyed. They must be removed. As I close tonight, let me say this. What is it in your life that needs to be removed? What is it in your life that is destroying your service, your walk with God? You know, what is it that is hindering your service to God. I like it here when the Bible says the fire fell from the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.